Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Well, I know you talked to us, I think back in 2017 when the solar farm opened. But if you could you just give me a rundown on what the Shy Center is all about and what the sustainability major in particular entails for a student who may be interested in going down that route?
Now, this is Wes speaking here. I'll give you some background a little bit about. So it's been about 10 years or so now since we started a new degree program in sustainability science. It's a Bachelor of Science degree. We're the only liberal arts institution in the U.S. that offers a Bachelor of Science degree in sustainability science. So it predates the solar farm, but obviously all tied together. The major has been wildly successful. I felt, honestly, when we first came up with the major, we were a little concerned that we were almost too fast out of the gate. Was industry and the private sector and public sector kind of ready for someone to come out with a degree in sustainability science? But we've been really pleased. I think I checked this morning, we have 58 declared sustainability science majors as of right now. A couple of them are double majors, but actually, interestingly, a lot of these are standalone folks that are taking just a single major. So a lot of excitement there. Surprisingly, the most common double major with sustainability science, I checked this morning, is art of all things, which kind of surprised me, but I found that kind of interesting.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, as the major kind of caught wind and began to develop, we now have strategically begun to add more faculty to that degree program. And so we've really expanded the breadth of the faculty. We traditionally were a bunch of geoscientists, and now we've added faculty that have emphasis in urban planning, anthropology, community engagement, energy. And so the department really has kind of transformed into a truly interdisciplinary department. So it's been an interesting evolution in terms of the actual degree itself.
So the sustainability aspect then isn't just focused on, understanding the intricacies of solar technology or things of that nature, but the way you're explaining it seems like it's almost like community planning to a certain extent, not only how to work the technology, but how to implement it in a functional way in a community. Is that a fair assessment?
It is. So it's not a tech program in a sense that we're not training students to basically necessarily go directly into the solar field or even the energy field per se. It's Furman being a liberal arts institution, you could think of it as we developed a curriculum that is more designed to train students to be more system thinkers. So how do we get students that maybe more traditionally, when you think of a major, that you tend to be kind of narrow-minded and maybe more discipline-based as you approach problems? But the department, I think, realized that if you look at a lot of the kind of grand sustainability challenges, with energy being one of those, you really need a student who is trained in looking at the system maybe more holistically. So looking not just at the environmental components, but understanding the social implications and social decisions, and certainly the fiscal and financial implications as well. So for us to address a lot of these kind of big problems, it can't just be an environmental lens. It has to be kind of a collective, more holistic lens. So how do you get students to be more system thinkers, more system modelers? And the beauty of that is it can be applied then to any sector. So we do have students that express interest, say, in solar per se, but we also have students that are going into corporate sustainability, that are going into education, that are going to food and farming, that are going into hospital systems, into real estate, into law, and they're kind of carrying that model, that kind of systems model and way of thinking into those various fields.
I actually hadn't considered that. I'm sure sustainability sort of consultants will be an increasingly desired a field to get into, just as more and more companies try to make that shift over toward greener a way of functioning. So I hadn't even considered that. But the way that you describe it, it makes it sound like a holistic for the sense that the field is so expansive and it seems to be ever expanding as you guys are going along. Do you anticipate your guys' growth to be continuing the way it has over the past few years?
I think so. I mean, you know, there's an upper limit where we have a limited capacity as to how many students we can handle because we want to give them a real intimate experience in terms of we have them write a thesis and do research and do kind of the more applied side of things. And so a little bit by design, we've kept it a Bachelor of Science program. We haven't, say, moved into including a Bachelor of Arts degree as well. But a lot of that is, you know, we'd like to keep it in the 70 to 80 maybe majors, but if it gets much bigger than that, I think we start to lose some of that more personal attention that we want to be sure our students can get, and being able to kind of guarantee they all get some kind of a real hands-on experience and some research experience as well.
Mm-hmm, sure. Let me ask you one more quick question about this, and then we'll try to bring Laura in. So sorry, Laura, for just standing there. Appreciate your patience on this. Could you describe to me what a typical, obviously it's going to be an expansive major, it's going to be a lot of different people, but if there are any sort of defining characteristics of a student who would choose this major?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, again, I think the thing that was interesting is when we launched the degree, so it's housed in a Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences. And so we had offered for a longstanding amount of time a kind of more traditional earth science degree and then had moved into the environmental sector. And I think there was some concern that if we added a degree in sustainability science, we would basically be just taking our current majors and then transferring them into sustainability science majors. The fascinating thing is the type of student that has actually been going for that sustainability science degree is actually a different group than we still continue to serve the more traditional kind of geoscience, you know, fully natural science interested students. And so it's a completely different subset. In terms of what I think, you know, this generation that's coming in, I think has, they're ambitious, they're excited, they see a lot of these big challenges, whether it's food security or energy or issues around social justice. And I think, you know, again, because it doesn't really hadn't historically kind of fit into one specific discipline, they're looking for some kind of breadth to, like, how do I tackle these kind of grand global challenges? So the major really is designed, we like to think it is kind of competency-based and solution-oriented. So it's content driven, but less than the content, it's more about kind of how do we provide them a skill set? How do we teach them how to engage with stakeholders? How do we teach them how to actually do systems modeling? How do we teach them to understand feedback systems? Things like that, that we use obviously specific case examples to highlight that, and that may be in the energy sector or water sector or public policy sector. But in the end, we want them to take that skill set and then pursue, you know, an area that they're passionate about. So our majors have really gone all over the place. I think I mentioned some of the wide range of professional positions they've held, but some go into corporate sustainability, looking at anything from apparel purchasing and sourcing to employee engagement. We've had others that have worked in the public sector in terms of working for, like, the Center for Disease Control. Others that have gone into communication and writing. A bunch have gone into hospital systems, of all things, which I hadn't anticipated. But, you know, most big hospital systems now are hiring a sustainability coordinator that not only handles kind of the operations and the waste, but is looking more holistically at efficiencies and, you know, health and things like that associated with a hospital system. So it's been really interesting to see how the discipline and how the private and public sector have really gotten excited about this and begin to, you know, really add these types of positions kind of across all fields.
And I know I want to tie it back into the solar farm here, but real quick, do you know how prevalent is a sustainability major across the country at different universities and colleges?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of excitement around it, so I'd say there's an increasing number of sustainability degrees being offered. I think what makes Furman's program a little bit different than a lot of those others, so a lot of the other programs, when they were founded or as they're founded, they've tended to look at their existing courses that are out there and then kind of handpicked you know, take this and two of these and three of those and five of this. And, you know, they've kind of looked at the existing courses instead of creating kind of specific courses to the degree. And although that's great, I think sometimes that makes it really hard to ensure that there's kind of a sense of cohesion and competencies that come with the actual discipline of sustainability science. So when we founded our degree, we were very intentional that it be a standalone degree with its own set of core curriculum, and a little bit of, you know, additional specialty in other areas, whether it's business or public policy or sociology. You know, there is a little bit of flexibility in some of the electives, but the students themselves are all taking a set of core courses that are specific to that degree. And as I mentioned, we've hired faculty now with that expertise that are really then teaching in that program.
And obviously, you guys have that solar farm there. And I know you guys have had some changes, and it's even just the addition of sheep in the past 2 years. So I don't know if Laura wants to jump in on this, just to ask you what you've seen the response or the benefit of having the solar farm, either just on the students' experience and their education, or from, say, an economic impact on Furman since you guys opened up a few years back.
No, that's great. Let me hand off here to Laura, and she can tell you more about the solar farm.
Hi, Evan.
Hi, Laura. I don't know if you were able to hear my question that I just asked Wes.
I was not.
So, well, basically, we talked about the sustainability major, and I wanted to know how the solar farm has impacted students, their experience, their education, what the feedback has been from them, or just how it's implemented into the curriculum, as well as have you guys seen an economic impact on Furman itself?
Sure. Okay, well, I'll start with the student piece since that feeds well from what Wes was talking about. We have had at least 7 different lab classes come out to the solar farm to do different types of research, some on vegetation to see what sorts of diversity there is there, and then some on what kind of carbon and mineral analysis there is in the vegetation in the soils. We've had classes come out just to learn about the solar facility itself. And then some classes have come out just to see the sheep and to see the interaction between agriculture and renewable energy. And then we've had lots of students come out just to visit and do what we call meet and greets. So our shepherd is really excited about having students come out and meet the sheep and be able to interact with farm animals. It seems to be something that we don't get to do a whole lot anymore. So he's great and has really enjoyed getting to know the students that way. So we've had several groups of students come out just to meet the sheep and see how they interact with the solar facility. So I'd say totaled up, we've had about 200 people come visit the facility just to learn about different aspects. So it's been pretty impactful.
Great. And before I have you jump onto the economic impact, I wanted, could you explain to me how you guys implemented the sheep? What their purpose is, and just, you know, it's funny the way you said it. We haven't had a lot of experience with farm animals in higher education lately.
Mm-hmm.
Just the the way in which things are almost coming full circle, where now we're implementing sheep, and it's almost in a way, sort of the cutting edge.
Yeah, isn't that funny? We're kind of going backwards to go forward. Yes, the shepherd actually likes to talk about how. In Downton Abbey, they use sheep to mow the lawn, and the White House used sheep to mow the lawn when the White House was first built. So, yeah, it's not a new technology, obviously. But the sheep came about because there's a local man here in Greenville who had a herd of sheep or flock of sheep and saw that the solar farm was built and saw the opportunity. And kind of it fits really well with our sustainability goals because we're aiming to be carbon neutral, and the whole point of putting in a solar facility is to reduce our reliance on purchased electricity from our utility. So it makes sense to try to find a way to maintain the grounds underneath it that's a more carbon neutral method. So he posed the idea to our facilities director. And our facilities director was really open to exploring it and got us involved. And so we brought the sheep on in May of last year. And they stay here full-time, 24 hours a day, up through the winter, about Thanksgiving, when the grass starts to kind of go dormant, and then they go back to their home farm. But they do a great job keeping the grass mowed. We don't have to use gas-powered mowers. We don't have to worry about the potential damage of solar panels from rocks being thrown up underneath the panels. So it's come with its own set of challenges, for sure, but the benefits have, I think, outweighed those, not only from the educational aspect and the interaction with livestock and the educational opportunities, but the reduction in having to use gas-powered equipment.
Almost seems like a good sort of encapsulation, too, of the work that Wes was saying about the holistic nature of this this area, this field. And just from my limited understanding of sustainable energy and so forth, the gist seems to be it needs to come from multiple energy sources or multiple different aspects in order to be successful. So I think that's pretty interesting what you guys are doing there. So in that regard, I just moving on to the next question. Has there been some kind of economic benefit, or have you seen any result or impact of the solar farm on Furman as a whole?
Sure. Yeah. So it's doing, you know, kind of exactly what we had hoped that it would do. It's reducing our utility bill every month because we're not having to purchase as much electricity from Duke Energy. So that's the biggest economic impact. But I think the intangible benefits, I think, are as important in this case. We're also we're not having to contract out outside labor to mow the farm or mow the grass underneath the solar panels. We're also providing a really great economic opportunity for our shepherds. So we're leasing the sheep from him. So it's a good community partnership, and it's, you know, the costs are coming out about even for us in the grounds maintenance.
Great.
So I think those are probably the biggest economic impacts.
Awesome. Well, I've covered through everything I wanted to touch on. Is there anything either you or Wes know of that you feel like we skipped over, or something you just want to put out there?
I don't particularly. I will say, I guess the sheep have been a really great learning experience, not only for our students but for myself and for the shepherd. We've run into some opportunities where we've been able to include things like rotational grazing. So when we first put the sheep out there, we didn't have enough sheep to really maintain the 6 acres. And so the shepherd has been amazing, and he decided, well, what if we put in some electric fencing inside the solar farm and rotate the sheep around in a smaller area? And that has been incredibly beneficial and much more productive and efficient. So that's been an interesting thing to follow. And I think the trend in combining agriculture with solar is just going to continue to increase. And so it's nice to be kind of on the forefront of that and to watch what's happening here and learn from it and be able to showcase that for the state.
Yeah, certainly interesting too, and probably a lot of fun for the students to get to play with sheep while on on the school.
The faces of all the people that come out there to meet the sheep, it's really fun to watch. The sheep are quite friendly. Several of them were bottle fed, and so they end up being more like pets. They come right up to you, and you can feed them carrots and really actually get to interact with them quite closely. So it's a joy, really, to watch the students.
Well, and if the solar energy thing falls through, you could always open up a petting zoo and cut your losses.
There you go. I love it.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you guys so much for talking to me today and taking up almost a half hour. I really appreciate you guys taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to answer any questions if there's a follow-up.